many really are satisfied with Jesus? Amen. Brother Tinsley tore that song up. Lord, I want to see him. Anybody want to see him? Look upon his face. Let us sing forever of his saving grace. Amen. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares, cares, pass. Home and lands, ever to Lord, I want to see him. Amen. That's the only reason God created us, was to see him. But the devil tries to sidetrack, doesn't make us see him. But Lord, I want to see him. And we just thank God, amen. I told him, he could just kept singing that all day. Yes, Lord. You know, it's something when you can get a hold of a song, and then the song can get a hold of you. A whole lot of people in church can sing some songs, but those songs will never become a part of them. The late Dr. Lulu Jackson used to say, Lord, let me live the songs I sing about. Amen. Singing a song should be more than just lip service or just getting attention on you. But when we sing, our voices should reach the throne of God. Amen. And then in turn, God will send us something back. So we just bless the Lord today. We thank God, amen, for everyone and for all that God is doing. And God, how do you know if God doesn't perform a miracle, you won't get it? Miracles only come from God. The song, they don't sing it too much anymore. Songwriters say, I expect a miracle. Anybody expecting a miracle today? Amen. Lord, I expect the impossible. Lord, I feel the intangible, and I see thee. Anybody need a miracle? He said, just believe and receive it, and God will. Hallelujah. Anybody need a miracle? Lord, I need a miracle. Lord, I feel the impossible. I expect the impossible of me. I feel the intangible, but most of all, I see the invisible. And I'm just going to believe and receive it. Because I know God will perform it, not tomorrow. But if my faith said God will do it, he will do it today. Amen. Amen. The song says there is no secret. Anybody know this? There is no secret what? What he's done for others, he's able to do the same for you. There is certainly no secrets this afternoon what our God can do. Amen. But you got to expect it. You got to believe it. And then you got to expect to receive it. Amen. We just bless the Lord. And we thank God for everything. Amen. We thank God that God is God. And because God is God, we don't have to question him, because he is sovereign. God is sovereign, and in his sovereignty, he moves when he's ready to move. Amen. A lot of times we get discouraged and despondent because God doesn't move on our time schedule. But I'm so glad that God is perfect in knowledge, perfect in wisdom, and he's perfect in timing. So God will move when it's time for him to move. Amen. We just bless the Lord. I'm going to ask you to stand for our scripture reading, which will be coming from Philippians chapter 3. We're going to read verses 1 through 10 of Philippians chapter 3. I'm expecting a miracle. Amen. And the miracle I expect is for God to change me spiritually. That's the greatest miracle. You know, I live every day to be saved and I give my best, but I still expect God to do great things. Anybody expecting God to do some great things? Amen. The songwriter, the scripture say, I have not seen. I'm talking about what kind of things? Great things. I have not seen ear. Oh, what God is about to do for us, we haven't seen it yet and we haven't heard it. Amen. The things that God has prepared for them that want. If you love the Lord, then you should have an expectation that God is going to do something for you. Can we say praise the Lord? And we're going to read scripturally verses 1 through 10. 1 through 10. Now on Friday, we went on by walking in the spirit or walking in the flesh.
Amen. Today, we're not going to go over that, but we're going to touch on worship again. We're going to touch on worship because the scripture said God created us to worship. In the book of Revelations, he said all things were created by him and for his pleasure. With all things, so even though mankind won't accept it, the only reason we were created was for his pleasure. And we're going to go over that in Revelation chapter 4 a little later. God created us to worship him. Verse 1 reads, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same thing to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the circumcision. For we are the circumcision, which worship God." Once again, "for we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice." Our worship causes us to rejoice and have. We're going to read this one more time. Because the focus is not on us, but it's on who? God. Amen. So it said, "For we are not circumcision of flesh, but circumcision of heart, which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh." He said, "If I want to look at things naturally, I got a whole lot of stuff down my knee. If any other man thinking that he has well, he might trust in the flesh." Paul said, "I more circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless, but Lord, thank you. I have some great natural accomplishments, but the only thing that counts is this. But what things were, everything that I could have gathered together on this earth, either those I count lost for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in who? Christ." Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. "Not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may." Lord, I don't want to just go through the motions. Lord, I don't want to come to church just to be like everybody else. Hallelujah. But I count those things lost because I want to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you. Oh God, we thank you for, first of all, being in our presence. For we understand and know that in thy presence is the fullness. Lord, we ask you to remove sorrow of heart. Lord, remove trouble of mind. Lord, we ask you right now that give us the pleasure that's in your presence and the fullness of joy. Now, Lord, we ask you to speak to us through thy word. Lord, search every heart in this moment. Lord, search every mind. Lord, search the doubt. Lord, search those right now, Lord God, that are leaning, hallelujah, towards giving up. We ask you to search and then send a word to find them out. And Lord, send your word to heal, send your word to deliver, and send your word to set free. And by faith we claim it now. Can we all say in Jesus' name?
Jesus.
Amen. You may be seated. So Paul, in the third verse, he says, "For we are the circumcision, which worship God in We worship God in spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. When we worship God, like we ought to worship God, worship is the only thing that touches the throne of God. So when we worship God like we ought to worship God, we touch the very heart of God. Amen. So our message today is going to center around worship. Not the worship that you learn, but I'm talking about worship that comes from the heart. We're talking about genuine worship. Can I get a praise of the Lord? Amen. We lose so many blessings and benefits that we can receive from God because we have lost our worship. Amen. Because we don't understand and we can't figure out the direction that God is going, we lose our worship. 3 months after Israel was delivered out of Egypt, one of the very first things the Lord told them, he said, worship no other God. Amen. I believe this is in Exodus chapter 34, verse 14. He said, worship no other God. He said, have no other gods before me, because I am a jealous God. So the first commandment that the children of Israel received after they were delivered was to worship God. The first thing that we as a child of God need to learn to do after our deliverance is to worship God. Worship is not predicated on external affairs and external things that are happening in our lives. But worship comes from the heart. Amen. In St. John 4 and 23, can you go there? St. John 4 and 23, I didn't give you this. Now we're trying to, anybody want to touch the throne of God? And in touching the throne of God, we want God to respond back to us. Amen. So, you know, everybody's going through something. You know, just because everybody don't wear it on their face and don't wear it on their sleeves, don't mean they're not going through something. But when you're going through something, that's the time to worship. Can I get a praise of the Lord? So, St. John 4 and 23 said, Jesus says this. He said, but the hour cometh in. Look at somebody tell them, right now is the time. Not tomorrow, but right now is the time. That is when God. When God wants what kind of worshipers? True worshipers shall worship the Father in what? And in. But look, why does God want you to worship Him? In spirit and in truth, because what? The Father. You know what God is doing? The Bible says in Chronicles, he says it a little differently, but it means the same thing in dealing with Asa. He said, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, looking for those whose hearts are what? Perfect. So you know what is Asa? He's looking for a worship. God is looking for your worship. Not about the, God knows the trial. He don't need you to tell him about it. Because knowing unto him all of his works from the beginning. He said, I know what things you have need of before you ask. But you still have to ask and then worship. God said, I know, listen, I saw this day before it even happened. I knew what you were going through. I knew the trouble. I knew the trial, but I still need you to ask. And how do you ask? Through worship. A lot of us are asking God, we're asking the wrong way. We ask God, oh God, you know, like God don't know what's happening, and like God is so unfair. You got to expect your miracle. So when I go to God and worship, I'm worshiping God, expecting a miracle. I'm worshiping God, expecting that God's going to make a way out of my worship. Has to be in spirit and in truth. Now, if we were to discern, or if we were to examine ourselves at this moment, what kind of worship do we have? Your worship And this is the problem in church. Too many pretty saints. Too many saints don't want it. Yeah, I'm going to do like everybody else. Let your worship be your worship. Too many people in church won't let go and let God because they're not true worshipers. A true worshiper says, I'm going to praise the Lord. I don't care what you do. I'm going to praise the Lord no matter what I'm going through because I realize that my worship will touch the heart of God. I realize that my worship, what I'm going through, will move the heart of God. So I need to learn. Anybody need to learn some worship? Don't worry about who's looking at you. Don't worry about your shout. Don't worry about your wall. But you need a hold of God for yourself. And you be like Jacob. Lord, I'm worshiping you right now. Lord, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. How do you bless me? Do my worship. Hallelujah. Too many pretty saints. Too many handsome saints. You need to let go and let God. Amen. Only God knows the end from the beginning and from ancient times. The scripture said, the things that are not yet done. And God said, my counsel shall stand. So what's the problem? The church has lost their worship. Yes, you come to church and praise God. Yes, you come to church and do this. Yes, you come to church and do this. But you've lost your worship. Amen. You can worship. True worship is this. I worship the Lord all the time. That's true worship. Even when it's bad, I still praise the Lord. Even when I've lost everything, I'm Job naked, came out of my mother's womb, and never shall I return thither. The Lord has given, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord, but I still worship. My worship is true worship to God. But the church has lost their worship. You do come to church. You do believe in God. And we're going to go over this in a few minutes. We're going to use, like I said, a lot of times we use principles, but I like to use applications. So we can see in the Bible what God wants from true worship. Can I get a praise the Lord? Let us go to St. John chapter 12. And we're going to go to verse 42 and 43. We don't want to go through the whole story, but we want to deal with worship. Now, Paul said he was of the stock of Benjamin. Amen. He said concerning the law, he was what? Blameless. He was a Pharisee of the... So the Pharisees believed in God. Amen? The Pharisees believe in God, but the Pharisees didn't believe in Jesus. The Pharisees, they were religious. They were believers, but they were not worshipers. There's a whole lot of people in the church that they are believers. They are religious, but they're not worshipers. Well, what has marked God in his worship? All the people that you worry about looking at you have robbed God of his worship. You don't have to shout like anybody else shouts. You just give God your praise. Give God your best for what God has given. You don't have to worry about anybody else. But a believer that's always concerned about others will never worship for fear of what somebody might say. We talk about a true worshiper. Verse 42 says, nevertheless, among the chief rulers are this important. The Bible said Nicodemus was a what? Ruler of the Jews. He was a what? Chief ruler. Now he came to Jesus by night because he was afraid. So Nicodemus at that time was not yet a true worshiper. But when the Lord died and him and Joseph of Arimathea went to get the Lord's body, he became a true worshiper. Because he said, I don't care what I lose. My devotion is to the Savior. What are you counting the cost for? Paul said, I've counted the loss of I've counted the loss of all things that I might win. That's a true worshiper. What things are you holding on to because you are afraid? And then this is a confusing thing. How can you do for God and be afraid you're going to lose? I just want to ask you that question. How can you do for God and be afraid you're going to lose when Paul said, if God be, do you believe the scriptures? Do you believe the word of God that if God be for me? Who? That's better than anything else. Who can be against me? But a lot of us, we have encountered some loss. Some of us haven't given up on some things. Some of us in the reserve of our minds have not learned to be a true worshiper because I just might lose this. If I lose everything and I got God, I'm still all right. I said if I lose a house and I got God, I'm still all right. If I lose my spouse because I stand for God, I'm still all right. If my family turn their back on me because I truly worship God, I'm still all right. I said if God be for me, glory, who can be against me? But if God is fighting your battle, what are you running from?
I'm talking about a true worship.
Body and soul in hell, and that is God.
the only one we should fear. A lot of us won't make a stand for God for fear of the repercussions of what we might lose. I stand. Lord, I'm going to stand if nobody else wants to stand. I'm standing. Hallelujah. If they take away everything, I'll stand. Amen. The other day, I was telling my wife about some situations, some dear friends I lost along the way. I'm talking about some close friends. But I have to make a stand for God. In the end, when God sees me, he's going to say, you know what? You made a stand. I wonder how many of us this afternoon are compromising our walk for fear of the repercussions of what we might lose. Well, the chief rulers leaned on him, but because of the people that were like Paul before he got saved, the what? The Pharisees were the highest religious ruling class of that time. So they believed in God. I wonder how many of us might be like this today. I believe in God. But I'm not going to make a move because I might lose something. But for because of the Pharisees, they did not. They believe. God don't want no secret followers. Amen. He said, if you be ashamed of me before men, I'll be ashamed of you before my heavenly Father. If you be ashamed of me before your co-workers, Jesus said, I'll be ashamed of you before the Father. If you be ashamed of me before your family, he said, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father. Amen. I wonder how many of us are ashamed and won't make a stand for God because somebody might be looking at me. You better stand for God. So they wouldn't make a stand lest they should be put. If I go out to synagogue, if I lose the church, as long as I got Jesus, I got enough. You can lose everything, but don't you lose Jesus. You can lose a car, a house, a land, lose all your possessions, but don't you lose Jesus. Because when you lose Jesus, you lost. Now we're talking about what? True worship. True worship is not governed by what you think about me. I didn't go to the school of how to praise God. I praise God from my heart. Too many in church, gotta watch somebody else. You gotta shout like they shout. Hey, if I have a job to shout, just give God the glory. Whatever you have to do, be free in Jesus. The Bible says, he whom the Son set free is. Whoever we go, she does the same thing. I want to tell y'all her nickname. Everywhere she goes, she says,
same. Everywhere she goes, she's the same. Right? We've been in every state, every city, and I just cross my legs and wait. I told you my nephew, we were in Ryan eating. My nephew couldn't wait to get back home to tell his mother, who's my sister. She said, "Oh, you won't believe what Auntie Paulette did." We were there with all those people, and she, people, not people, that's what, my South stuff, right? Come here, come here. With all those people in Ryan, you know how big Ryan is? You know how big Golden Corral is, right? It's bigger than that. And we're sitting there, there's a man sitting across from us with one of those hospital things on his arm. What are those, name tags? Yeah. So we're sitting there. I didn't notice him, but I just was eating. I didn't go there for no man. I was there to eat my food so we can get back to service. So we're sitting there, and after a while, she's looking, and she's doing more looking than eating. I said, "Okay, we know where this is about to go." You ain't gone there seen a long time. You know, and he's white, we black, it don't make a difference. So we're sitting there, and seriously, you got really look bad though. Honestly, I guess he had just come out of that dialysis and all this stuff, and he was sitting there by himself, and sometimes it didn't look like he could even make it. So she said, "Sir, are you all right?" And he went through the whole story, the cancer, the this, the that, the dialysis. He was really bad. He said, "Tell you the truth, I don't even know why I came here today. I don't even come to this restaurant." She said, "You came here because God sent you so we can come across your family." So I said, "Okay, good. Now let's eat." She said, "Sir, would you like us to pray for you?" I said, "In the middle of the restaurant?" So my nephew there was not the biggest soul. She said, "Pray for him now?" He said, "Yes, I'd love for you to pray for him." So you know what we did? We stopped eating and we prayed for him. But what I'm saying, I say true worship. Someone that loves the Lord, you don't let nothing stop you from what God wants you to do.
Right.
And the guy said, "Yeah, I've been baptized in Jesus' name. I've been filled with the Holy Ghost. I speak in tongues." He said, "But the church I go to, they don't believe in that." You know, because she said, "Well, we're going to pray, but we will ask somebody. We baptized in Jesus' name. We speak in tongues." He said, "I believe in it too." He said, "Just pray." So we said, "Oh, I'm going to be praying." You know, everybody in the restaurant, what they were doing, right? But we were true worshipers. We weren't worried about what's up. How we in church are worried about what people are doing and saying? If you can't do it in church, guess what? You ain't gonna do it in the streets. If you can't do it in church, you're not gonna do it with your friends or coworkers. Amen? It's getting hot. But we're talking about true worshipers. We're talking about those who have counted the loss. Those who have counted the loss of all things that they may win Christ. Well, the chief rulers believed, but they would not openly confess him for fear of what they would lose. Amen? Now let's go to Matthew chapter 9. I said, I'd like to give a real application to the message. Amen? So we're going to go over two applications, and I'm not going to keep here forever. I still got 15 good minutes. But let's go to Matthew chapter 9, and we're going to read verses 18 through 25. Now, the chief rulers did not believe because of who? Pharisees. Amen. But then we're going to read about a chief ruler that had a desperate need. And this chief ruler, in his desperate need, said, "You know what? I'm not worried about what you all say of me." And one of the other things about chief rulers and the rulers is that they were wealthy. They had substance. They had money. Amen? So this chief ruler, I think the word that they use for chief ruler here is archon in the Greek. And archon in the Greek, the only other time that it was used in the New Testament was the rich man that went to Jesus and said, "What lack of thine?" So this ruler had substance, had wealth. But something was lacking. Amen. So He said, while he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a, he's a ruler. Now, the ruler, if you read about it in, I believe, Mark chapter 5 and Luke chapter 8, they tell you who the ruler was. The ruler was Jairus. That was the ruler. So he was a ruler and did what? You know what the ruler had a need? And he said, I realize that I'm in a place of providence because the rulers were the political and religious leaders of the synagogue that they were in. So they set the example for all others to follow. But this ruler had a need. The ruler is a what? Jew, right? The Pharisees and the Jews did not believe in Jesus. And we read in Exodus chapter 34, it said, the Lord thy God, him only shalt thou worship. So he's a what? He's a Jew. But what does he do to Jesus? He does what? Worship, right? So though he says, I'm a Jew, but right now I gotta let everything else go. I'm gonna count the loss of everything else because right now I need to win Christ. So what did the ruler do? He fell down and he worshiped. What I'm saying is in your desperation, you need to learn to worship. Now because he was the ruler of the synagogue, guess what? Everybody was what? Watching him. But he had a need, and in having a need, he didn't allow what everybody else was looking at thinking to rob him of his worship. And he realized that only me am going to get help for my daughter who's at the point of death is I need for Jesus to intervene. A lot of us, we're not ready to die physically or naturally, but some of us are dying spiritually. You better learn to fall down and worship God. Forget about it. Listen, if your husband or your wife don't want to do it, you worship God. If the rest of your family don't want to do it, you worship God. If your grandmother and grandfather, you still worship God. Because God can turn it around. So he fell down and worshiped. He said, while he spake these, he fell down and worshiped, saying, my daughter is even now. It means she's at the point of death. But come and lay thy hand upon her and she shall live. But now, was this normal? Absolutely not. Because it tells us that the Pharisees, the chief rulers, and the religious leaders rejected the counsel of God. But when you have need, you gotta let everything else go. You gotta be desperate for God for yourself. And because he was a chief ruler, now remember that Jesus called, he said, you bunch of vipers. Right? He called the Pharisees, he said, you're vipers. And the apostle said, Lord, they are fed. He said, I don't care. That's what they are. Right? But this viper, because he approached God the right way, got his attention. He called them a bunch of vipers. You know what vipers are? You're like a bunch of deadly snakes. You're dangerous. But worship made God, got God's attention. So because he worshiped and he was a viper, now how many other Pharisees did Jesus follow? None. Well, look, he said, Jesus arose and what? Oh, yeah. Well, why did he follow him? Because he touched the heart of God through worship. Yes, he was a viper. Yes, he was a snake. Yes, he said, you're threefold or tenfold more than a child of hell, but he still followed him because he worshiped. You have some desperate needs. You better let him forget about everybody else and learn to go to Jesus for yourself and worship. And we all know the woman touched him, keep going, with the issue of blood, and he said, you're healed. But you know, as a throng, just to let you know, this woman had a spirit of worship also. This is not our message. Because there were thousands that touched Jesus. But how many got healed? Right? Everybody's in church touching Jesus. How come they're not all getting healed? The problem is not Jesus. It's them. They don't have what kind of worship? True worship. So how can he have all these? There were so many people touching Jesus. What Jesus said, hey, somebody touch me. But this touch wasn't one of them, I just want to praise the Lord a little bit touch. This touch wasn't one of them, I just used to go in a church touch. But this is one of those touches that move the heart and spirit of God so that he healed. But Jesus said, who touched me? Because this wasn't an ordinary touch. He said, the person that touched me, I feel that virtue has gone out of my body. Hallelujah. Somebody touched me that I feel the spirit of healing. I feel the spirit of deliverance. And the woman realized, because of her faith. Right? She said, I don't have to talk to him. I just need to what? Touch him. True worshipers believe in touching the Lord. Well, let's keep going anyway. Amen. He said, woman, thy faith has made thee whole from that hour. Next verse. And when Jesus came into the ruler's house, he went down to four. Go back up. We skipped something. But Jesus turned to him go back up one more. Sorry. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. Next verse. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. And when Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the menstrual and the people making a noise, if we had time, I would go to Mark's account. Because it says that after Jesus told the woman she was healed, they came to Jairus and said, don't trouble the master anymore, because your daughter is dead. They said, don't touch it, don't even bother it anymore. Jesus said, be not fearful and unbelieving. He said, but only believe. He said, don't be afraid, just only believe, for the child is not dead. They're like, wait, now, if we go by what it looks like, that's why you can't go by what it looks like. The reason church is so messed up, they can't go by what it looks like. By what it looks, but can I take a few minutes? Can we just go to Mark chapter 5 for a minute? Let me just read it. Let's go to Mark chapter 5. I want to go to Mark chapter 5. Let me get the exact verse. I think it's around verse 22 of Mark, because I think it's really important that when we leave church, don't we need to have some foundation? We don't want to just say, well, I heard that, but we need to have a foundation, and then we'll come back to this. Amen? We're going to go to Mark chapter 5, and let's go to verse 35. All right, we already know that Mark, because they were writing to the Gentiles, they said that Jairus fell down before him. But Matthew wrote to the Jews, so it was important that they realized that he fell down in worship, because the Jews knew that they only worship one God. Right, so that's why Matthew places emphasis on worship. Mark and Luke places emphasis on the fact that he fell down before God. Amen? So then verse 35 said, while he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain who said, the daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master? As soon as Jesus heard the words that were spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, he said what? He wanted only to do one thing, and that was what? How many of us are afraid when all God requires is us to just, well, everything is against me. He didn't ask you what's against you. He said, only believe. I don't know what your challenge is, and I don't know what the difficulty is, but you cannot approach it through fear. You have to approach it through faith. Faith believes. Amen? He said, only believe. Only believe. Amen? And he suffered no man to follow him save Peter, James, John, and the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the rulers of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed. Now everybody, because What they saw was another Lazarus. He said, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I know that I don't know how many dead situations you got in your life. But Jesus said, if you only believe, thou shalt see the glory. A lot of our situation is dead. The world, everybody else has given up on you. Your family has given up. Let Jesus get involved. He can bring to life every dead situation. And when he was coming, he said unto them, why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleeping. And they led him to score. But when he had, you know why we can't get out of deliverance? We got the wrong association. Notice that Jesus didn't take all of his disciples with him. He only took the one that would believe. Then when he got into the house, he said there was a great tumult. There was a great thing. There was lots of martyrs. But Jesus, when he said she's not dead but sleeping, they began to laugh. So what did he do? He put them all out. You can't get a miracle of healing if you don't lose some of your dead associations. Some of those close people that keep giving you down, you need to cut them out. The Lord didn't do anything till he got rid of all the doubters. And even though he had 900 disciples, he didn't take them with him. Because they did not yet believe. The problem is you're trying to get healing, but what's your association? Who are you talking to? Who's put words in your ear? You and I don't get your deliverance if you put them out. Jesus said, you know what? At this point, I already know what I'm going to do. But I can't do it for you because you won't lose those negative, unbelieving, doubting people that won't look by faith, but they keep looking by sight. The challenge to the church is 90% of the church walk by sight and only 10% walk by faith. But the people that you associate with won't be the ones that walk by faith. The one you associate with are the ones that walk by. So you don't get the same healing, well, I believe what they believe. You don't believe what they believe. Because when someone puts a reservation or a seed of doubt in your heart, you believe the doubt. And you doubt them. So Jesus said, you know what? I can't do anything till I put them out. You need to put some things out of your life. You need to put some things out of your association. You need to put some things out of your environment that's robbing God of the praise that's due his name. Negative people will not bring you to God. Remember on Friday we said that murmurers and complainers displease God. When you walk in the flesh, you cannot. So a lot of us are trying to walk in the spirit, but we're bringing people along with us that are walking in the flesh. So Jesus said, wait a minute. You're in the spirit. You can at least be in the flesh. He said, I can't heal your situation till you come out from among them and be ye. So the church is not getting delivered because they won't come out. They won't be separate. They keep getting involved with the same people. Well, if Jesus had to put them out and he was God, what do you need to do? Can I get a praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
But when he had put them out, he takes the father and the mother of the devil and them that were with him and entered into where the devil was lying. And he took the devil by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumai, which is being interpreted, devil, I said to thee, but he could not do it. He got rid of all of the what? Doubters. You won't get your deliverance. You won't get your healing until you get rid of all of those doubters. And what? Straightway, the damsel arose and walked, for she was at the age of 12, and they were astonished with great astonishment. Amen. The woman that had the issue of blood, just for the preacher to look up, she had the issue of blood for how long? 12 years, right? This damsel, in the same context of discourse, was how? So y'all look that up. Amen. We're going to close in 2 Chronicles chapter 6. We're talking about true worshipers. A true worshiper won't care what they're going to lose. A true worshiper just wants the attention of who? God. We have too many in the church today that are worried about everybody else and have forgotten God. Well, this is King David. We're going to read verses 12 through 17 and verses 22 through 23. This is King David after the Philistines had taken the ark during the time of battle with Saul. They had taken the ark, and David goes back to get the ark a little earlier. And when they go get the ark of the covenant, because they did not do it the right way. How many of you can mean to do the right thing, but you can do it the what? The wrong way. So David took 30,000 men and he went to get the ark from the Philistines. But they did not do it the right way. So because they went to get the ark, they didn't do it the right way. Uzzah, as they were carrying the ark on an oxen, and the ark began to wobble, he touched it and he instantly died. But if you read about it in Numbers, it says you're not supposed to touch this holy thing. So God did not change his law because he said, if you do it, it means death. So Uzzah died. They called it para-Uzzah because it said it was a breach upon Uzzah. But the problem wasn't God. The problem, they were not doing it for what? How many of us are trying to get to God and get some help from God and get God's presence, but we're not? So as a result, David left the Ark of the Covenant in the house of Obed-Edom. And a few months later, they came and told David, said, David, the house of Obed-Edom is blessed because the presence of God is there. So David went back and did some research. Amen. He said he was angry. He wasn't angry at God. He was angry because he knew he had not done it the right way. So David went back and figured out what's the right way to bring the ark back. So this time, now David goes back and brings the presence of God back the right way. Look at somebody and tell them the right way. You're not going to get anything from God until you learn to do it the right way. David was a man after God's heart, did not change God's word. God's word is immutable. It is unchangeable. It's true. So now David goes back and gets the Ark of the Covenant. Amen. And he said, and he stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the congregation of Israel and spread forth his hand. I'm sorry, I gave you the wrong one. Did I want to tell you? That's in 2 Samuel? 2 Chronicles. I'm sorry, 2 Samuel chapter 6. Wait, spread his hand. David just spread his hands. Sorry. Let's go here. I'm almost finished. And it was so that when they that bear the ark of the Lord had gone six paces, he sacrificed oxen and fattens. And David danced. David was who? The king. But David was not afraid or ashamed to worship God. With all, I wonder when we come to church, how much do we give God? We give them all a part of it. David danced with all his might, and David was girded with a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of trumpets. And as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw the king leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. So David is worshiping. And somebody else got messed up because they didn't like the way he worshiped. You worship God your way. You can't help what anybody else thinks. You let them worry about themselves. So Michal, whatever you want to say, got upset because David worshiped the Lord. And they brought in the ark of the covenant and set it in place in the midst of the tabernacle that David had pitched for it. And David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before David learned how to do it the right way. Now it's important. His wife, Michal, was his wife. She got upset because she didn't like the way David worshiped. You can't gonna allow anybody, no matter how close they are, to steal God of his worship. Amen? As soon as David had made an end of offering, burnt offerings, and peace offering, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts. And he dealt among all the people the necessary things. Next verse. Then David returned to bless. So he said, no, I just came from church. I don't praise the Lord. I just worshiped. I just said, I was in the presence of God. I felt so good. Now I'm getting ready to go. You got to watch when you go home. Yes, you do. Amen. You got to watch you and what you do at home and what somebody else is doing at home. So David still is excited about what God had done because he had brought back the Ark of the Covenant, which was what? God's presence. Amen. And Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, how glorious was the king of Israel today, who uncovered himself today in the eyes of his handmaids of his servant. You know what she's doing? She's getting on David. Because she didn't like his worship. She didn't like the way he praised the Lord. Amen? And one of the vain fellows shamelessly uncovered himself. Who was David worshiping? That's why you can't worry about what somebody else thinks when you worship. Worship Yahweh. Hey, don't give me no pattern for worship. Let's worship God from the heart, in truth, and with a right spirit. Amen? And David said unto Michal, it was? When you worship, you're supposed to worship how? Before the Lord. A lot of us haven't praised God in a long time because of somebody in church and how people are going to look at us. You need to let God have his way. David said it was before the Lord, which chose me. Not that I'm going to go dead, right? He got rid of your father for me. Amen? And before all this house, so appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore, I will play before the Lord. And I will yet be more vile than thus. And will be based in my own sight. He said, you know what? When it comes to me worshiping, I don't care how bad I look. As long as I'm not in the flesh and I'm in the spirit, I'm going to praise the Lord. Amen? And of the maidservants which thou hast spoken, of them shall I be had in honor. Therefore, Michal, the daughter of Saul, as we all stand, don't you allow anybody else to sin your worship of God. You know why she didn't have a child? Because she was trying to prevent David. As the elders and the ministers come forward, she was trying to prevent David from being a true worshiper. And God did not like that. Because you know what she was telling David? I want you to honor me more than God. God was angry. And he pronounced judgment at that time that she would have no child because she didn't understand true worship. A lot of us have lost blessings that God had intended for us as we all stand because we are not true worshipers. The hour has come, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, because he seeketh such to worship him. Amen.